Right now, we are involved in an unthinkable war, a war which will cost more in blood than all the oil in the world is worth, and I'm having a little trouble thinking about birds. I was invited to talk to a pack of Cub Scouts on January 15th, the deadline for Iraq to pull out of Kuwait. I planned to at least apologize in my speech for talking about something as irrelevant as birds on the eve of war. But as I set up my slides, little boys were shooting baskets and making hand shadows with the projector light and goofing off the way little boys are supposed to do. I thought of the chickadees that had come to my feeder all that day. They too had gone about their lives without a thought about the evil that men do. When I was growing up in Chicago, I used to go to the public library downtown most Saturdays, and I'd often see an old lady who wore rags, even in the middle of winter. She sat hunched over on a bus stop bench, apparently because she had no home to go to. Yet every time I passed her, she was tossing crumbs to the pigeons. I used to look out the L train windows at the projects, the ugly brick hells to which wealthy white Chicago banished impoverished black Chicago. Once I saw a couple of little children there feeding house sparrows on the ledge of their kitchen window. We need birds in our lives, perhaps most of all in times of trouble. And so on the eve of war, I gave my usual presentation about winter birds to that sweet group of Cub Scouts. Birds have given our nation much more than people realize. Much of the protein that nourishes people around the globe comes from domesticated birds, who also give us down feathers for our coats, sleeping bags, and pillows, warming and comforting us. Much medical research nowadays involves zebra finches rather than mice. Homing pigeons, the same pigeons flying above city streets today, were a major part of our military's communication system in World War I and II. And above all, throughout history, wild birds have enriched human lives with beauty, sport, and song. FDR took time off to go bird watching when he needed respite from his wartime cares. He and his predecessor Theodore were both lifetime members of the American Ornithologists Union. Our nation's Declaration of Independence and the Constitution itself were written with the feather quills of birds. We used to tell servicemen that they were fighting for motherhood and apple pie. Now many of those serving and dying in the Middle East are themselves mothers, and too often our apple pies are tainted with unnatural chemicals. It's no accident that a bird was chosen as the national emblem. Birds are symbolic of that which is true and unchanging and eternally great about our nation. And so as all of our thoughts are drawn to the Middle East and to our friends and family members serving there, I hope you can keep a little place in your heart for the birds. But I don't know how to be entertaining when my thoughts are with the women and men who are expected to give their blood so we can continue to squander energy and line the pockets of big oil men. I will return to the airwaves the day our troops return to America, safe and sound. I'm Laura Erickson.